Corey Curtis, Derek Mason at Sutton Service in Nolensville this morning, 6029 Nolensville Road. And come on in, drop off some toys, some clothes, or some school supplies. Get yourself a free cup of coffee. It's part of a big game initiative to make the holidays a little bit happier for absolutely everyone. And it looks like we've had a good and spirited crowd. Here this morning. Mace, a guy who's always in good spirits, especially this time of the year because his bowl game is rounding into shape, is Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council, and he's also the head honcho for the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Scott, it is great to talk to you. As I sit here, I just think that how do you, Derek, and I all stay in the same city for so long?
That's a good question. Well, Derek's Hall of Fame athlete and great guy from the city. Corey, you and I have no idea. We just got to carry Derek's bags every now and then and try to make ourselves useful, I guess.
All right, you know what? As we watched the games unfold last week, and every game has its own impact, and you're watching the Egg Bowl, are you on kind of pins and needles as to how that one's gonna wind down?
Yes. this time of year is really the most nerve-wracking kind of a week or 2 weeks here of the year for me, because you're trying to really anticipate all the scenarios, which, you know, is impossible to do because one upset changes the whole dynamic. And then you wait till the college football playoff rankings come out, which again is a committee-based decision. And while a lot of people focus on 1, 2, 3, 4, we're focused more on 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, because that impacts the number of teams per conference they'll get in the New Year's Six, which impacts the teams that you could select from. And so it's all a domino effect. And if you're not kind of ahead of it a little bit, we just aren't ready for Sunday when we announce of all the things that could happen, because, as you know, Corey, better than anybody, you got to have your information in today's world ready. And, you know, upon announcement, and you can't take the rest of Sunday to try to do the press releases and ticket information and media, you know, announcement and those kind of things. So, you know, this time of year, just trying to get all the what ifs. And to your point on the Egg Bowl, you know, that's another team. So you start really counting heads a little bit. The SEC has 9 eligible. What happens if 4 go into New Year's 6? What happens if 3 goes into New Year's 6? What happens if 2 goes in? What teams could kind of fit into Nashville? You know, I think there are certain things that we feel like we can control, which is how well we put on the event, how well our events are, how many fan events, how many player events, how many player-parent events, administrator events, and just make those the best we could possibly do. And I really feel good that we're one of the best experiences in the bowl system existing now. And then there's things you can't control, like the wins and losses that you're referring to that could dictate the matchup, which, you know, some years are better fits than others, regardless of which team it is. So it's a nerve-wracking week with a lot of moving parts, and sometimes I feel like a lobbyist, which I swore I would never do.
Now, this bowl game has been going on since 98, but you guys joined, I think, in American. It became the American
Franklin American
Music City Bowl in 2010. But how do you, because it is an SEC and whatnot, how do you, is it good to have a repeat team? Because Kentucky has played in this game, I think, 4 or 5 times somewhere around there. Tennessee has played in it a few times. And I'm just talking about the teams that are close to the area. Louisville has played in it. Is it good to have a repeat team like in Kentucky or UT?
Well, I think it depends on how recent the repeat was, Derek, and also the matchup and really year to year. You know, to your point, I think some of the more regional teams have fit here over the 21 years, but, you know, we haven't had a repeat team. You know, in the last, I got to think back, it's probably since 2010, in 16, we've had Tennessee. So in the last 9 years, we've had 8 different teams.
The only team has been a repeat has been UT.
Yeah. And before that, there was a little more repeat because of the way the system worked. And that's why when we went to the pool system in 2014, where the Outback Bowl, us, the Gator Bowl, Texas, and Charlotte are all even, and we work on matchups and not so much of a pecking order, draft order, it's really benefited Nashville. I mean, we've had LSU, Notre Dame. We had A&M Louisville with Lamar Jackson and the Heisman. The year before he won the Heisman, we had a sellout with Tennessee, Nebraska, Kentucky, Northwestern did great. And last year, 60,000 in the stands with Auburn, Purdue. So the flexibility in the matchups in the system now has really been a positive to avoid what you're talking about with repeats. Some years you just can't avoid it. Again, you know, if you've only got three or four teams for three or four games, there's only so many ways you can kind of put the puzzle together. But it's certainly been an improved process from the old draft order process that we had before 2014.
Well, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but Louisville is a team that's being talked about, and they were here in 2015, which means virtually none of their players that played in that last bowl game are going to be playing, would be playing in this one, and they have a new coaching staff as well. Mississippi State hasn't played in this game for even longer. Both schools are in driving distance. People from both areas like to come to Nashville. That would seem to be a real winning matchup for Music City, the Nashville Sports Council, and the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl.
Yeah, again, it's a year-to-year process, Corey. You know, I mean, you look at the best matchups and trying to solve the puzzle the best to impact the city the best, which is we'd love to fill up the stadium because I think that as many fans you can get in there creates the best environment for the players, especially the seniors. And a lot of seniors playing their last collegiate game. I just think that's always been a goal. Second, obviously, we do the bowl game to really bring tourism impact during a week that, you know, 20 years ago we didn't have any, and fill up hotels, and we're going to close down Broadway and create Battle of the Bands and concerts. So you want fan travel, you want fans in the stands, and sometimes, you know, the more regional teams give you a blend of some day trippers, some people will stay three or four nights, and really give you a little more advantage. So
they can stay for New Year's now too.
People come in. Yeah. So, you know, I think the process will play out. You know, we're very likely going to be with the ACC. We did have a little bit of flexibility with the Big Ten, but the way things are lining up, I think we'll stick this will be our last year with the ACC. Next year we go full Big Ten. We move up in the order with them for the next 6 years. So I think when you look at Virginia Tech, you look at Louisville, the way the process works there is that we have a defined pool once we get to us for the best four records. And I think when you look at those two teams, they probably make the most sense at this point with options depending upon opponents in some other cities.
Now, there are things that you try to do each and every year to make it the experience a little bit better for the fans, for the players, for the coaches. You talked about shutting down Broadway and having a battle with the bands. Is there something new that we should expect this year?
Well, on Broadway, we're going to have a chili cook-off with about 12 great chefs in Nashville that'll be free and open to the public. Our stage will open on Sunday afternoon down there and continue all the way. We're going to have a post-game concert. The game's at 3 o'clock kick, so come back down to Broadway. Sunday night will be our traditional concert, Battle of the Bands, all the activities. Some of the stuff we're doing different for the players this year, Derek, the Soundwaves is now open at Gaylord Hotel, so they'll have a day in the Soundwaves. Heck, I don't want to call it a water park because it's probably cooler than a water park if you've been out there. We have a player-only event with we host about 50 Wounded Warriors and Gold Star family members throughout the week. So there's a player-only event with those folks that Jeff Jarrett's doing a wrestling, three wrestling matches for them.
Nice.
Players only in Opryland. So, we try to kind of peel it off. One of the things that we do uniquely is during Battle of Bands, we have a reception. This year will be at the Underground. We take a whole floor and we invite just the parents and family of all the players on both teams and to have something for them, which a lot of cities and bowls don't do for the family. So, you know, we try to kind of break it out and do something for all the people that come. And I think that's what's made our Nashville experience maybe stand out and really, you know, start the trajectory that we're one of the better destinations in the country, despite maybe not having a beach or, you know, Southern California type weather this time of year.
Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council and the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Scott, real quickly, is Tennessee in the conversation at all for you?
Absolutely. You know, I think a chance to have Tennessee this year will fill the stadium, and anytime you can have a sellout in today's world, it's hard to do with secondary ticket markets and the way tickets are sold. It's hard to sell out, let alone sell out a bowl game when you really don't know your teams until 3 weeks before the game. So we'll see how it plays out. Some of that could be dictated on the final standings with CFP on Sunday, whether or not how many teams that the SEC can get into the New Year's Six, and then how some other teams fit. But, you know, I would say Tennessee and Mississippi State and possibly Kentucky in some scenarios. Obviously, you can't put Kentucky and Louisville together. You know, I would think those three, there's just not a lot of depth this year with the SEC. It's a little odd year. You know, normally there's five or six teams for our pool rather than three or four. So, you know, I think we'll see how it plays out. And Tennessee certainly would be somebody we'd be very excited to host this year if it worked out for us.
Well, Scott, I appreciate your time. And before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, the NASCAR Awards Show are in Nashville Thursday night, but the drivers and NASCAR is already here, and they've got burnouts on Broadway tonight at 6. Mm. This is going to be an awesome event tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I think our city's just really turned into something that people are able to do pretty unique things when you think of popularity of Broadway, a la, you know, NFL draft, what we did for the NHL All-Star Game, and then certainly tonight's event with NASCAR. It'll be something that a lot of cities really don't have the opportunity to do when you have a downtown as dynamic as ours. So it'll be exciting to see, and something I'm sure will set the bar for that event as well.
All right, well, we appreciate it. I just want you to know there's a lot of people here with their fingers crossed for Tennessee-Louisville, but we're not going to put any added pressure on you, all right?
Thanks, Corey. I can always count on you, man.
Happy holidays, Scott. Great talking to you.
You too. See you guys.
Yep.
All right, Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council. Again, burnouts on Broadway tonight at 6 o'clock.
Sounds like fun.
I think you're going to have 16 NASCAR cars doing burnouts Broadway. It's going to be unbelievable. This is Corey Curtis with Derek Mason, the Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, Derek Mason.
Hey, man.
Whitney.
Can't beat that.
Can't beat Whitney. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason on the Morning Drive, filling in for Braden Gall this morning at Sudden Service in Nolensville. Get a free cup of coffee. Bring down some toys, some clothes, or some school supplies. 102.5 The Game, trying to make Christmas a little bit merrier this year. That'll be going on for the next couple of weeks. So we just had Scott Ramsey on.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the Nashville Sports Council would love to have a Tennessee-Louisville matchup. He wouldn't say that, but it sounds like he wouldn't turn his nose at that for sure.
I'm sure, you know, Louisville fans would love it because it's, you know, close proximity.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have to spend, you know, money on a flight and then a hotel and all this other stuff. Vol fans, I'm sure they would love it because they're the same thing. You know, you're only, what, 2.5-3 hours up the road?
Well, and Tennessee's on the uptick.
Yeah.
And so this isn't a fallback game for them.
Absolutely.
This is an ascending two game, which is always a big thing. And he indicated that they would probably be sticking with an ACC team, which would kind of point towards Louisville as well. So it'll be interesting to see. We are giving away tickets to that game. And if you want to win a pair of tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl December 30th at Nissan Stadium, call right now 737-1025. That's 615-737-1025. If you are the fifth caller, you will win a pair of tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. And once again, the emphasis on the teams there sounds like Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Louisville, and possibly some other ACC teams in the mix.
It seems like all are within sort of driving distance.
Yes.
So, you know, the money you would spend on a flight, now you don't have to. You wouldn't have to. You just drive. Spend a couple hundred dollars on gas. That's it.
So we look forward to that. I would love to have Tennessee back in our town. Who we did have in our town last night was the Tampa Bay Lightning, last year's President's Trophy winner. And they beat the Preds 3-2 in overtime. That was a thriller, and they lost the game, but I think you liked the way the Preds played in that one, right, Mace?
Yeah, I did. They were what I've noticed, and I was thinking about this while watching the game yesterday, because during the losing streak, they were giving up tons and tons of goals. At one point, they gave up 9 goals in one game. And, having coaches on the show and players talking defense, defense, defense. And I can recall talking with either Chris Mason or Hal, one of those. Sometimes when you, because this is what they had to do, concentrate on defense, then your offense might take sort of a hit somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
They agreed, and it seems like that has been the case in a positive way. That was a hard-fought battle last night. They won, I think, the night before, somewhere around there. But they played much better defense the last couple of games. And if they continue to do that, it's just like, I believe, any other sport where if your defense can dictate your offense. If you're playing really good defense, that does allow your offense to flow a little bit better. Basketball, that you see it happen all the time in basketball. Football is kind of tricky because you only have, the same people that play offense does play defense. But you see in hockey, when we're doing good on the defensive side, that opens up things on the offensive side. So, as long as they're playing defense well, I think eventually they will get back to scoring goals.
Well, they are 1-1-1 in their last three. So, of course, still playing without Victor Arvidsson. Lost Ryan Johansson, I believe, in the second period last night to a game misconduct.
5-minute penalty. They did a great job at killing that penalty, too.
They did. So the Preds lost that 1-3-2. Last night in college basketball, Vanderbilt beats Buffalo. Belmont sweeps the Battle of the Boulevard. Austin Peay lost by 8 at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Middle Tennessee got a blowout victory over Columbia International. And the college football playoff number 1 was Ohio State. LSU is 2. Clemson is 3. And number 4 for now is Georgia as we head into that final weekend. The Tennessee Titans made a roster move yesterday. Made two roster moves yesterday. Mm-hmm. Brought in veteran defensive back cornerback Tremaine Brock. He was waived by the Arizona Cardinals, and the Titans picked him up off the waiver wire to make room for him on the roster. They had to release Ronis Grasu, who's been on and off the roster all season. He's been a backup center to Ben Jones. Ben Jones had a concussion earlier this year. Mm-hmm. He's a few weeks clear of that, so I'm sure the Titans are feeling much better about where Ben Jones is at right now.
Yeah, but still, as we saw in the second half of that game, giving up 6 sacks isn't a good thing. And some of those
sacks, that's not a good thing, man. Yeah, not at all.
And some of those sacks came directly up the middle, whether it be from the guard position, both of the guard positions or the center. They need to shore that up. Taylor's playing better. He didn't have a penalty for the second game in a row, so that's good. But this offense, this line as a whole, they're doing a really good job at run blocking, but pass blocking has been their Achilles heel.
They're much better at moving forward than moving backwards.
Absolutely.
Now, neither of us are offensive line experts, but you are more of a football expert than I am. When you look at their problems, I think because they've given up 49 sacks this year, and they cannot all be blamed on the quarterback holding on to the football. When they have problems in pass protection, are they more physical one-on-one losses or communication in picking guys up?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of communication. I think you saw that a lot on the left side with Taylor and Saffo, just miscommunication, not picking up the stunts, the twist, not calling out who is who. So when you're not working in tandem, you give up those loops, those twists, and everything else. And if the team finds out you can't communicate, they're just going to keep doing it.
Well, and that's going to take me to where I was going to go with this. Is when there's blood in the water, sharks are going to come.
Oh, absolutely.
And with the Tennessee Titans and their pass protection, there's blood in the water. Mm-hmm. And teams are coming after it every game. And I had a really interesting conversation a few weeks ago with Keith Carter, their offensive line coach, just about this. I think it was when they played Tampa. He said, we were in 5-on-5, because I said a lot of these passing situations on the front comes to matchups. Uh-huh. Teams single guys out.
Exactly.
And they say, we want to create one-on-one matchups with this guy because we think we can win. And he said, yeah, when we played Tampa, we virtually had five guys coming every play. And we had five one-on-one matchups every play. And because teams feel like with the Tennessee Titans that if they can get five one-on-one matchups, they're going to win one of those more than they're not.
And that's not good. That is not good when they feel that any one of your offensive linemen can be a liability, not just the guard, not just the right tackle, but from the right tackle to the left tackle. All of y'all are liabilities if we just get a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah, and people who wanted to bench Taylor Lewan earlier in the season, that is a very short-sighted point of view. He is still your best offensive lineman.
Of course.
And so I know people get frustrated over penalties, and I know some people like the way he acts, some people don't. The simple fact is he is still your best offensive lineman, and you can't bench a guy because you're frustrated. That's way too short-sighted. And the last 2 weeks – He's been
a lot better. And you just hope that this continues because this is, Taylor's MO. He gets penalty after penalty, then he straightens up a little bit, then he goes back to the penalties. So hopefully, this can be the start of him just, you're going to have your penalties every now and then. But if you if you are considered one of the best at your position, and they're playing you like such.
And he's playing the most difficult position.
You can't have one or two penalties every game. You just can't. That's not acceptable.
No, they're gonna. It's like Tannehill and fumbles.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna fumble once in a while, but six in six games is too many. Six penalties in six games would be too many. But so that's the situation with the Titans' offensive line. They are now down Ronis Grasu. So if you're asking, well, who's the backup center now? It's Jameel Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
And he took some snaps in the preseason. I think he's also taken some snaps during this regular season at the center position. As we said earlier, the Preds fell last night 3-2 in overtime to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Adam Vingan covers the Preds for The Athletic. He joins us next on The Morning Drive. This is ESPN Radio 102.5 The Game. Oh, Derek Mason.
Hey, man.
Whitney.
Can't beat that.
Can't beat Whitney. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason on The Morning Drive, filling in for Braden Gall this morning at Sudden Service in Nolensville. Get a free cup of coffee. Bring down some toys, some clothes, or some school supplies. 102.5 The Game, trying to make Christmas a little bit merrier this year. That'll be going on for the next couple of weeks. So we just had Scott Ramsey on. It sounds like the National Sports Council would love to have a Tennessee-Louisville matchup. He wouldn't say that. But it sounds like he wouldn't turn his nose at that for sure.
I'm sure, Louisville fans would love it because it's close proximity.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have to spend money on a flight and then a hotel and all this other stuff. Vol fans, I'm sure they would love it because the same thing. You're only 2.5-3 hours up the road.
Well, and Tennessee's on the uptick.
Yeah.
And so this isn't a fallback game for them.
Absolutely.
This is an ascending two game, which is always a big thing. And he indicated that they would probably be sticking with an ACC team, which would kind of point towards Louisville as well. So it'll be interesting to see. We are giving away tickets to that game. And if you want to win a pair of tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl December 30th at Nissan Stadium, call right now 737-1025. That's 615-737-1025. If you are the fifth caller, you will win a pair of tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. And once again, the emphasis on the teams there sounds like Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Louisville, and possibly some other ACC teams in the mix.
It seems like all are within sort of driving distance.
Yes.
So, the money you would spend on a flight, now you don't have to. You wouldn't have to. You just drive. Spend a couple hundred dollars on gas. That's it.
So we look forward to that. I would love to have Tennessee back in our town. Who we did have in our town last night was the Tampa Bay Lightning, last year's President's Trophy winner. And they beat the Preds 3-2 in overtime. That was a thriller. And, they lost the game, but I think you liked the way the Preds played in that one, right, Mace?
Yeah, I did. They were what I've noticed, and I was thinking about this while watching the game yesterday, because during the losing streak, they were giving up tons and tons of goals. At one point, they gave up 9 goals in one game. And, you know, having coaches on the show and players talking defense, defense, defense. And I can recall talking with either Chris Mason or Hal, one of those. You know, sometimes when you, because this is what they had to do, concentrate on defense, then your offense might take sort of a hit somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they agreed. And it seems like that has been the case in a positive way. You know, that was a hard-fought battle last night. They won, I think, the night before, somewhere around there. But they played much better defense
mm-hmm.
the last couple of games. And if they continue to do that, it's just like, I believe, any other sport where if your defense can dictate your offense. If you're playing really good defense, that does allow your offense to flow a little bit better. Basketball, that you see it happen all the time in basketball. Football is kind of tricky because you only have, you know, the same people to play offense does play defense. But you see in hockey, when we're doing good on the defensive side, that opens up things on the offensive side. So, you know, as long as they're playing defense well, I think eventually they will get back to scoring goals.
Well, they are 1-1-1 mm-hmm. in their last three. So, of course, still playing without Victor Arvidsson. Lost Ryan Johansson, I believe, in the second period mm-hmm. last night to a game misconduct.
5-minute penalty. They did a great job at killing that penalty,
yeah,
too.
They did. So the Preds lost that one 3-2. Last night in college basketball, Vanderbilt beats Buffalo. Belmont sweeps the Battle of the Boulevard. Austin Peay lost by 8 at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Middle Tennessee got a blowout victory over Columbia International. And the college football playoff number 1 was Ohio State. LSU is 2. Clemson is 3. And number 4 for now is Georgia as we head into that final weekend. The Tennessee Titans made a roster move yesterday. Made 2 roster moves yesterday. Mm-hmm. Brought in veteran defensive back cornerback Tremaine Brock. He was waived by the Arizona Cardinals, and the Titans picked him up off the waiver wire to make room for him on the roster. They had to release Ronis Grasu, who's been on and off the roster mm-hmm. all season. He's been a backup center to Ben Jones. Ben Jones had a concussion earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's a few weeks clear of that, so I'm sure the Titans are feeling much better about where Ben Jones is at right now.
Yeah, but still, as we saw in the second half of that game, giving up 6 sacks isn't a good thing. And some of those
sacks, that's not a good thing, man.
Yeah,
not at all.
And some of those sacks came directly up the middle, whether it be from the guard position, you know, both of the guard positions or the center. They need to shore that up. Taylor's playing better. He didn't have a penalty for the second game in a row, so that's good. But this offense, you know, this line as a whole, they're doing a really good job at run blocking, but pass blocking has been their Achilles heel.
They're much better at moving forward than moving backwards.
Absolutely.
Now, neither of us are offensive line experts, but you are more of a football expert mm-hmm. than I am. When you look at their problems,
mm-hmm.
I think because they've given up 49 sacks this year, and they cannot all be blamed on the quarterback holding on to the football.
Mm-hmm.
When they have problems in pass protection, are they more physical one-on-one losses or communication in picking guys up?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of communication. I think you saw that a lot on the left side with Taylor and Saffo, just mm-hmm. miscommunication, not picking up the stunts, the twist, not calling out who is who. So when you're not working in tandem, you give up those loops, those twists, and everything else. And if the team finds out you can't communicate, they're just going to keep doing it.
Well, and that's going to take me to where I was going to go mm-hmm. with this. Is when there's blood in the water, sharks mm-hmm. are going to come.
Oh, absolutely.
And with the Tennessee Titans and their pass protection, there's blood in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And teams are coming after it every game. And I had a really interesting conversation a few weeks ago with Keith Carter,
mm-hmm.
their offensive line coach, just about this. I think it was when they played Tampa. He said, we were in 5-on-5, because I said a lot of these passing situations on the front comes to matchups.
Uh-huh.
Teams single guys out.
Exactly.
And they say, we want to create one-on-one matchups with this guy mm-hmm. because we think we can win. And he said, yeah, when we played Tampa, we virtually had five guys coming every play, and we had five one-on-one matchups every play. And because teams feel like with the Tennessee Titans that if they can get five one-on-one matchups, they're going to win one of those more than they're not.
And that's not good. That is not good when they feel that any one of your offensive linemen can be a liability, not just the guard, not just the right tackle, but from the right tackle to the left tackle. All of y'all are liabilities if we just get a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah, and people who wanted to bench Taylor Lewan earlier in the season, that is a very short-sighted point of view. He is still your best offensive lineman.
Of course.
And so I know people get frustrated over penalties, and I know some people like the way he acts, some people don't. Mm-hmm. The simple fact is he is still your best offensive lineman, and you can't bench a guy because you're frustrated. That's way too short-sighted. And the last 2 weeks – He's been
a lot better, and you just hope that this continues because this is, Taylor's M.O. He gets penalty after penalty, then he straightens up a little bit, then he goes back to the penalty. So hopefully, this can be the start of him just, you're going to have your penalties every now and then. But if you if you are considered one of the best at your position, and they're playing you like such.
And he's playing the most difficult position.
You can't have one or two penalties every game. You just can't. That's not acceptable.
No, they're gonna. It's like Tannehill and fumbles.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna fumble once in a while, but six in six games is too many. Six penalties in six games would be too many. But so that's the situation with the Titans' offensive line. They are now down Ronis Grasu. So if you're asking, well, who's the backup center now? It's Jameel Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
And he took some snaps in the preseason. I think he's also taken some snaps during this regular season at the center position. As we said earlier, the Preds fell last night 3-2 in overtime to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Adam Vingan covers the Preds for The Athletic. He joins us next on The Morning Drive. This is ESPN Radio 102.5 The Game. Good morning, Nashville. Corey Curtis, Derek Mason at Sudden Service in Nolensville this morning. Mace, I know that every morning offers its own struggles and its own stresses, but thank you for getting out of the Range Rover.
It was hard because it was warm in there. I had my 50 playing early in the morning. I typically, play some nice, easy music on my way to work.
Elevator music?
Yeah, why are you playing Get Rich or Die Trying on the way to work every morning?
So when I parked, I'm like, man, I got to get myself going. So, I put a little
in the club. Was up and down?
Yeah. A little in the club,
Do we see Kyle Turris again, or does he go back out on the island?
I don't know. It was good to see him out there. I think I jumped up in the air when I realized it was Kyle Turris. Guys like that, for whatever reason, because obviously we don't know what is going on in there. But you see a guy that was planned, and all of a sudden he's not playing, and you're trying to figure out.
Not playing at all.
Exactly. But then once he does something good, you're cheering for him. You're rooting for him. So it was good for Kyle Turris. It helps with his confidence. I think it helps with the confidence of the head coach. And he went out there and did exactly what he was supposed to do, and that's affect the game in a positive way.
The Titans are definitely playing better, and they are playing an Oakland Raiders team this weekend that had been playing better.
Mm-hmm.
Mace, this team was 6-4 and looked like the surprise of the league, and they were in a fantastic situation for the playoffs, and then they went to New York, to the Meadowlands in Jersey, and absolutely
laid an egg.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a clean way to say what I'm saying. I mean, and they lost 34-3 to Adam Gase and the Jets, and then followed it up with a 40-9 beatdown against the Raiders. They've been outscored. Look, they had the playoffs in sight.
They did.
Right in front of them, and they have followed it up by being outscored 74-12.
They're in a prime position to basically almost eliminate Oakland from the picture.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, look, it's a must-win for the Titans as well because they've got to go 3-1 down the stretch, and you don't want to have to go 3-0 against the Saints and 2 with the Texans.
Yeah, they got 2 with the Texans and the Saints.
Yeah, and so, you're right. You can basically tell Oakland, hey, thanks for playing. We'll see you next season if you win this game.
You started off pretty good, but now you're going to be exiting stage left.
Yeah.
But the Titans, if they take care of business, starting this week, then they put themselves in a position back here at home against the New Orleans Saints, which is going to be a daunting task.
Gosh, we've known each other a long time.
Goodness gracious.
You got some gray in the beard.
Yes.
I am.
You cut yours off. You don't even grow it.
I got it on my chin now.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm looking good. I got, like, just a little gray hair on the side. That is it.
Hey, man, if you can hold off, hold off.
I'm like the Bob Barker, Ronald Reagan of Nashville TV.
Your hair looks better than Darren's. Darren gets so mad when you say something about his hair.
Well,
Darren McFarland.
He quaffs it. We can't argue about the color.
Yes, he got the gray, still gray, and he rocks it well. But if you say someone's hair is better than his, he gets a fit.
You didn't say mine was better.
I did. I said your hair's better than Darren's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I won't fight you. I appreciate it. But, Darren, we love your hair. College football playoff poll came out last night. Heather Dinich from ESPN is here to join us now.
You know, it's funny how the college football playoff just makes coaches unhinged in November. there's no filter. If you were to ask Dabo Sweeney or any of these other coaches any questions that had anything to do with the playoff like this in September, I guarantee you get, you know, coach speak all the way. All of a sudden, we're 1 week out, and it's like they lose their minds. But, yeah, I mean, look, if you lose to Virginia in the ACC championship game, your one-loss team sitting there without a conference champion, you've got these other teams there with better resumes. That's when I think resume comes under the microscope, and Clemson has nothing. Virginia's going to be the only ranked team they play all year long. You want to talk about eye test, I mean, Clemson's living on it all season long, and I feel like if they drop that game, that might actually make it easier for the committee.
Sean Henry.
Hey.
He's on the line now.
He can tell us.
Sean, what's going on?
Dude, I feel like a spectator, man. That was a good seat I had on the show.
Sorry about that. I was trying to get to you, but Mace was rambling endlessly.
No,
and we had
better. That was the best part of the show. I'd rather listen to him. But when you said the king is dead, I thought you meant Stony Brook. That's what I was going to say. I don't even know if they won or not in the past year. But it is amazing, isn't it? But those games are always fun, too. Like we were saying about our game last night, you never know what you're going to get with that Auburn-Alabama game. And you know, that was a must-see ending, wasn't it? I heard that Adam Vinatieri is going to transfer to Alabama.
They're going to miss again.
Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council, and he's also the head honcho for the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. As I sit here, I just think that how do you, Derek, and I all stay in the same city for so long?
That's a good question. Well, Derek's a Hall of Fame athlete and a great guy. City. Who are you and I? I have no idea. I mean, you know, we just got to carry Derek's bags every now and then and try to make ourselves useful, I guess. This time of year is really the most nerve-wracking kind of week or 2 weeks here of the year for me, because you're trying to really anticipate all the scenarios, which, you know, is impossible to do because one upset changes the whole dynamic. And then you wait till the college football playoff rankings come out, which again is a committee-based decision. And while a lot of people focus on 1, 2, 3, 4, we're focused more on 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, because that impacts the number of teams per conference they'll get in the New Year's Six, which impacts the teams that you could select from. And so it's all a domino effect.
Is that Michael McDonald?
Yes, it is.
I thought that was some of your elevator music. Marquise was popping up.
His voice is dope. Dope.
Derek Mason, another 4 hours together, and you survived.
Absolutely. Hey, that's what friends are for.
For good times. For bad times.
Dion Ward.
Hey, before we go, I did this last time, so I'm going to ask you again. Feel good about the Titans this weekend? 3-point favorite at Oakland?
Yes, I do. Yep. Yes, I do.
I do, too. I think they take care of business and make it a three-game season. I think Derrick Henry makes it 4 straight over 100 yards. And I think the defense is good enough to seal the deal late. So we'll see what happens in that one.
Absolutely. They better.
All right. Well, the Tennessee Titans are a 3-point favorite this weekend. I think Darren, Donick, and Chase are coming up next year on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And then, of course, Jared and the GM after that. So you can call up and be mad at Jared Stillman with the rest of the – why is everybody so mad at Jared?
I don't know.
But everybody just loves to be mad at Jared.
Because he yells all the time.
He's harmless.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's really harmless. He's just the kid that wants to get picked in kickball. That's all. He just wants to get picked. I appreciate you guys picking me to fill in for Braden Gall. It's a big seat I fill and one I really enjoy. Nashville, you have yourself a great day, and I'll see you tonight on News 2 at 6 and 10. Mace, the show is yours.
Absolutely. Baby, DJ Nashville, stay warm, and I love you.